We open our Bibles to Psalm 138, verse 6. Well, due to the demands of presbytery in advance, and then the exams themselves, and the fact that I keep feeling my age, this week I did need to rely on going back to a topical sermon for today and for tonight. And both sermons were inspired. You know, I start to pray and ask the Lord to guide me and what to turn to with you for meditation. And we were at Elder Nick DeTroy's home, and he brought us through family worship after a meal before a bonfire. And he brought us to Psalm 138. And two verses particularly stood out to me. How many times have I read Psalm 138? But that's the encouragement for us. There's always so much more to be fed and glean upon in the Word. Verse 6, which we'll look at this morning, and particularly just the first part of it. We'll look at the context a little, but really just the first part. And then this evening, verse 8. So I want to give credit where credit is due. I was inspired and blessed by Mr. DeTroy, Elder DeTroy's devotion at his home in Wisconsin. And I'm bringing that to you this morning. And again, what we look at first this morning is just the first part of verse 6. I'd like to read Psalm 138 since it's rather brief, and then I'll repeat the first part of verse 6 so we can kind of have the context within. I won't get to most of the verses in great detail, but let's at least have the context there for us before we focus on verse 6. So hear now the word of the Lord, all of Psalm 138. A psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And so we focus on the first part of verse 6. So let me read that for us again. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Let me read that once more. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. This is such an encouragement to turn with you this morning. Imagine this. Imagine you attended a grand inaugural parade in Washington, D.C., of the next president of the United States who is about to be inaugurated into office. Yet you're really far back in the crowd, really, really far back. Nobody could probably see you without binoculars. You're hardly seen, if seen at all. And you stumble. You twist your ankle or you skin your knee. Yet somehow, the president, the next president of the United States, about to be inaugurated, noticed your fall and stops the massive advance to see that you are taken care of. And he isn't content to have his Secret Service or other aides go out to do it. He steps into the crowd, which parts before him, and he comes to kneel down before you and caress your knee, to bandage your ankle, and to put a presidential Band-Aid on your knee. I imagine if that was the case, that probably would be something we'd save later somehow after we sanitize it. And then he picks you up, and he has you sit with him in his vehicle, or walking with him as it might be, and then he has you sit with him and eat at his table. And though he has that first dance with the first lady, he invites you to come on the floor with them. I mean, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, everybody on the news would be talking about, who is this person, right? This is how God thinks and acts toward the humble and the insignificant of this world that yet trust in his Son, the King of Kings, as their saving King. This is how Christ cares for you. This is how he thinks about you. It's how he has his disposition towards you. God's exalted majesty does not keep him from caring about you intimately. I give that to you as the main idea of this part of this verse. I'll repeat. God's exalted majesty does not keep him from caring about you intimately. It's profound to consider, isn't it? Often I think we may delay going to God. We kind of feel like he's not really paying attention. He's so big and exalted. We have to remember he's also transcendent and immanent. God's transcendence, though, how much higher over he is, it does not impede his immanence. He, quote, hath respect for you. You who are lowly, you have denied yourself and humbled yourself and died to yourself in Christ that he would live in you and you would live for him. I mean, we are the lowly, right? Whether we are of more means or less means, the world thinks we're ridiculous. The world thinks we're a joke. And often the world will persecute us and make us lie very low, as we see in Exodus where we are right now before he delivers them. And yet he delivers them. And he delivers them. Not proud Pharaoh and the proud Egyptians. One thing we often see there is he makes a clear distinction between his people and God's people. He makes a distinction, especially as we just read this morning, with the Passover lamb. He hath respect to you. You could translate it, he sees you. He has regard for you. Just stop and imagine that again. Praise the Lord, he's intimate, he's infinite, he's eternal in all his qualities. But remember that he is omniscient and he is omnipresent. He sees everything and he's everywhere. And what a blessing that is to us. He was with us in our mother's womb before she even knew, Psalm 139, knowing us there. He even knows our secret thoughts, Psalm 139. We need to ask him to reveal to us. We can think about Jonah tries to get away. But God's great mercy is, no, I'll follow you to the end of the earth, as it were at that time, and I'll throw you to the end of the ocean, and I'll use a great fish to swallow you and spit you onto the land. And what does he pray in the belly of the fish? Similar to this psalm, I praise you toward the temple. What's the temple representing? God's special presence with his people. Same prayer as in the psalm. He says, I pray toward your temple, and I thank you that when I was about to be drowned with seaweed around my neck, you rescued me with the fish. Here I am in the fish now, thanking you for saving me. It's incredible to think about. If we were to be shipwrecked, if we were to be alone in the ocean, perhaps in our last moments, yet God is there with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He is paying attention to us. And whatever is happening to us is his providence and, in fact, his providential care, working all things for good. He hath regard for you. He has respect for you. He sees you. He knows you by name. Your name is written in the book of life. Isn't that something? When we were at Presbyterian, they wanted to ensure that everyone, including the children, signed their name on the guest book that we were there. And our names are registered in the rolls of Presbyterian that we were there. That's kind of a special thing, isn't it? Our names are written in the book of life. Christ writes our names in the book of life. You know, at a wedding reception often, you're going to ask people to sign their name, let us know you were there. Paying attention to our names, paying attention to our person. God does not pass by you. God does not ignore you. He notices you. He pays attention to you. He always cares for you. You are not insignificant. You are important. So much so that God shed his blood for you, as is said in Acts. Christ, he came down to shed his blood for you. We want to remember that about each other. Christ died and spilled his blood for one another. So therefore, we should have special regard for one another as brethren in Christ. Isaiah 57, verse 15 reads as follows. For thus saith the high and lofty one that he pays, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. It says, though I dwell in the highest of the highs, I also dwell in the hearts of the humble. Isaiah 66, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Psalm 113, verses 5 to 6, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He condescends to us. He looks down to us and pays attention to us. As Mary marveled over being the one chosen to birth the Christ child proclaimed. Now remember, she's no one significant at all. But God chose her because of her humility and her love for God. And she was chosen to birth the Christ child. And in response to being told this by the angel Gabriel, she proclaimed in Luke 1, 48 and 52, for he, that is God, hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And if you look at all that she says, marveling over the high and majestic God who yet pays attention to his lowly handmaiden, you can hearken back to Hannah and her response to God after God gives her a child, hearing her prayer. James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James goes on to say in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So may the Lord indeed humble us and show us our areas of pride and make us more humble, that we would enjoy more of his close presence and his regard and respect. Thinking of what we saw with the fifth commandment last week, show respect and be respected. God promises to bless us as we show respect to him through others over us and under us. Matthew 23, verse 12, Jesus says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Notice this in opposition to the proud and high-minded. You see that in the few verses. We're called to be humble because God will lift us up, but if we exalt ourselves, God will humble us. I think we can all testify in our lives how he's done that many times, and we pray that by his grace, we do humble ourselves and say, I'm sorry, I'm not worthy. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me. But notice there's that other part of the verse today. Back at Psalm 138, verse 6, our part we're focusing on, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But there is a parallel here. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Now that's a like an antonym. It's not synonymous. It's like an antonym. There's a contrast being made here, as often is the case in the Psalms and Proverbs. Though the Lord hath regard to the lowly, the proud he knoweth afar off. He keeps his distance. And of course, those who are proud are not trying to draw nigh to God, so he doesn't draw nigh to them. We know ultimately in his sovereign grace, he's the one that draws his elect to come closer, but he uses means and he calls upon us to use those means and works through those things, working through us. So notice the proud, he doesn't really know very closely. There's an intimacy for those who are humble. We could argue, I think, even within the true elect, the true church, there are still those who experience a greater or lesser degree of God's presence and closeness, depending on whether we are humble or proud. If we are exalting ourselves all the time, complaining, discontent, God is going to be distant from us. If we humble ourselves, offer ourselves up to be servants, as we've been seeing in Philippians 2, God will be closer to us. And we will enjoy a more of a sense of his regard, his presence. Just as don't we enjoy it when our parents get a little closer to us, come alongside us, partly to help us along the way because we have been trying to do something in a humble way. Proverbs 3, verse 34 says this, "Surely God scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly." 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7, "Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Notice that. As we would humble ourselves, it wouldn't just be that he exalts us, but he exalts us in his mighty hand. He cares for us. He can handle our burdens. We've got to give it over to him, humble ourselves, and stop trying to be in control as if we can fix ourselves or fix our lives or fix others. But as we bow in prayer and cry out to God to work more on me first before I worry about someone else, he will lift us up in his hand, and we will enjoy more of his closeness and his blessing, and we'll experience more of his direct fatherly care. But be encouraged to know he cares. He cares. He hath regard for the lowly. God watches over you while you sleep. Psalm 121. Your shepherd feeds and guides you all along the way of your journey. Psalm 23. He, in fact, is carrying you as a son. A father carries a son. Deuteronomy 1, verse 31. And Christ speaks of himself in the New Testament as carrying that lost sheep on his shoulders, bringing him back to the fold. So, beloved, may we pray what we sang in Psalm 131, verses 1 and 3, I'm going to highlight. And remember when we had a sermon a little while ago from another minister at a video sermon, he said, this is the way to deal with stress, humility. He pointed to this as the Old Testament equivalent of Philippians chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 6. May you be singing this regularly to have a stress-free life as you would humble yourself and then have God lift you up in his close, caring presence. Psalm 131, verses 1 and 3. "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." Beloved, God has time for you. Always. Because he is infinite and eternal, unlike we parents who are not, and we are limited, and we have to say to our children sometimes we don't have time for this or that. We try to be careful about it, but we are limited in our ability. God always has time for all of his children. He always has time to listen. He always has time to pay attention and to care and help. Because you have time for him. Because you approach him, "Dad, Father, Abba, can you teach me? Can you show me? Can you help me? Can you guide me?" Philippians 2, 6 to 10, remember, Christ humbled himself to take on humanity and death and even the death of the cross with you in his mind all the while. Romans 8, 32, "God gave up his son for you, so therefore how will he not give you all things?" You are not insignificant to the most important one over the entire universe. Oh, pretty much everyone else is ignoring you and me. And whatever we're seeking to do for the Lord and for his church is mocked if it's even noticed. I have recently challenged some in like-minded churches. I'm not sure the government even pays much attention to us, let alone is seeking to persecute us. We don't matter mostly to them. But God is paying attention to us. He's much more interested in you than the mightiest kings and princes and presidents and nations of this earth. And he's just using them all, like Cyrus, ultimately on your behalf. Even when he uses the prince of the principalities of this world, such as with Job, he's ultimately using him for you. Jesus loves the little children, and he says, such are the kingdom of heaven, who approach him like children. And though the disciples say, don't bring the children to Jesus, he's too busy, he's too important, he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Such is the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't approach me in heaven like this little child, you will not be there. But if we approach the Lord like a child, we call upon him as our dada, we ask for him to help and guide us, we express our dependence upon him, then he's always paying attention to us. Christ is always saying, come here, child. Beloved, you will always be able to testify to verse 3. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 138. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. I think that'd be a good verse for us to remember, to possibly memorize and be able to go back to regularly. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. You got to be able to cry to God. You got to be willing to humble yourself and cry out to God. And when we do, he meets us and strengthens our soul. When we cry out to the rock who is higher than we are, when we feel hopeless. And that makes me think of Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. He says, I will praise you, Lord. I love you because you heard my cry and you answered me. Luke 18, before I continue, isn't that how our children respond to us when we do listen to them and give them special attention and maybe in a crowd or whatever it is, when we think of them, when we remind them we've been thinking about them, such as coming back with presents from our business trips, and thank you, that sense of our attention and fatherly love and close attention, they are thankful for that. They rejoice in it. Luke 18, 9 through 14. It was the sinner who humbled himself before God and said, have mercy on me, as he beat his breast and couldn't even look to heaven. Jesus said it was that man who was lowly that was justified before God. Not the one, the religious leader, look how great I am, look at all the good things I do, I'm so much better than this guy over here. That guy didn't go justified before God. That was the proud that God distanced himself from. I think we all understand that. When you're around someone acting proud, don't you kind of get a distaste and kind of, I'm not as interested. But the humble person, the lowly person you're attracted to, you're intrigued by. Just as Jesus sensed the woman touching his garment in a crowd and turned around to speak to her, just as he pointed to the widow's mite as the most important donation at the temple, just as he did hear the cry of Hannah and gave her a son, and then many more children. Just as he said, the woman who had anointed him with all that she had did what she could and should always be remembered for it. It was, remember, she was weeping, crying. It was poor Lazarus who ate the crumbs off a rich man's table, who found himself dining in the bosom of Abraham in paradise. It was the thief on the cross who turned to Christ and said, please remember me in your kingdom, who he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So, beloved, you who believe in the beloved Lord and Christ, you lowly matter most to the Most High God. And that is the message for you this morning. Psalm 138, the first part of verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. You lowly matter most to the Most High God. Let us thank him. Almighty God, we do humble ourselves before you. We are on our knees and on our faces, as it were, confessing our sin, that we are sinners. And we beat our breasts and say, please have mercy on us. We acknowledge everywhere we are the chief of sinners. We do not seek to exalt ourselves or proclaim our own righteousness. We are not worthy of the least of all your mercies. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you humbled yourself to a lowly manger in the humblest of beginnings, in the humblest of reputations. The summary of the prophets, you shall be called a Nazarene. And you did not have a place to lay your head, and the religious leaders who should have acknowledged you ultimately killed you. And the world and most of your own knew you not. But those who know you, you have given eternal life. We pray, Lord, who you have called into humility and death to ourselves for love for Christ and his church. We thank you that you have called upon us by name, that you have loved us before the foundation of the world, that you have died for us, that you have our names written in your book, that you are paying attention to us wherever we go. Let us really recognize that wherever we go today, tomorrow, this week, may it affect how we live for you in thanksgiving and joy and holiness. Because wherever we are, not just that you are watching, but you are watching as our Father, as our Savior, loving us, concerned for us, desiring to see us live well and enjoy you, to glorify and enjoy you. Lord, let us live every moment encouraged to know you're watching. You're right there behind us. As a father or mother watching a child learning how to ride a bike, you're there always. You're watching us as we sleep. You're paying attention to everything we do, and you reward the diligent. You are righteous. Lord, we just thank you and pray that you would cause us to desire your affection, to draw close to you, that you would draw close to us, and that we would leave saying it was good for us that we drew close to God. Lord, humble us so that we do draw closer to you. Break our hearts for how far we stay away from you in our pride, justifying selfish living. Break us, Lord, and bring us to your word and prayer regularly, that you would draw close to us and that we would live a stress-free life as it is sanctified by our Savior, who is close to us when we are lowly, closer to us when we are humble, for more of your majesty to be seen and experienced, and to bless us to enjoy a greater sense of being more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask your blessing on us as we continue in worship with the supper, and let us be amazed that it is the King of Kings who is serving us, and it is the King of Kings who died for us and rose again from the dead and applied his blood in the Holy of Holies for us and ministers as a high priest daily for us. Oh, Lord, we do thank you. Let that be enough for us to live and to live for Christ. And we pray as you taught your people to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.